Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
This is The Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, sitting in for the doctor. You can jump on board at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. Don't forget to go to michaelsavage.com for a lot of the stories that we'll be talking about today. And you see what's going on with this president. I mean, it really is a crazy time in this country and in the world. We're going to talk this hour about this whole I have a phone and I have a pen deal that, you know, people, oh, well, he's just, oh, those obstructionist Republicans, he can't work with them. He's just got to go around them. Well, isn't that unconstitutional? The Constitution, come on. What are you, 100 years old? Constitution, that's a living, breathing document. Things change. You got to keep up with the times. I mean, the founding fathers would never expect there to be a Congress like this. I mean, they all got along back then. See, do you see why we have to study history? I mean, it can't even be close to the truth. These guys used to have duels and kill each other. What are you talking about? They got along back then. They used to write up flyers, anonymous flyers that were full of lies. This one had sex with a pig. This one likes little boys. You know, I mean, they would just do this stuff to each other. Are you kidding? They got along. And so here's President Obama going around Congress again. How? Well, let's see. We saw on MSNBC the other day, one of the reporters said, well, I just talked with a very high-ranking official in the White House, and when President Obama comes back from his trip to Europe next week, from Europe over the next week or two, he will be issuing perhaps an amnesty for as many as 5 million people, although they don't call it an amnesty. You know, just another little piece of the immigration reform, 5 million more. That's on top of what he already did with the so-called Dream Act for children. And then, of course, you've got President Obama talking about new treaty for man-made global warming. That's in the New York Times. Going around Congress again. Well, it's going to be a treaty, but not really a treaty, because we know with a treaty we'd have to actually get the Senate to approve it. And we know we really can't because of those awful evil Republicans. So we're going to do some other things, and we're just going to do what we can do. Wait till we get into that. And then there's President Obama talking about getting us not just back into the war in Iraq, but also Syria, maybe Libya. But, you know, Congress. I don't need to go to Congress. I'm the president. This is how the nation was set up? No, of course it wasn't. And the question is, though, what are you going to do about it? What is Congress going to do about it? Because he keeps doing it and they don't stop him. And you don't stop him. So what? What are you going to do about it? I mean, really, that's the question from President Obama. I'm doing this. What are you going to do about it? I'm doing what I want to do until somebody stops me. And nobody's stopping me, so I'm doing it. And he's got the media on his side. Well, those Republicans, they just won't help. Okay, let me ask you something. First 2 years President Obama was in office, do you remember those 2 years? White House, President Obama. House controlled by the Democrats. Senate controlled by the Democrats. Not only controlled by the Democrats, controlled with a filibuster-proof majority. There was nothing the Republicans could do to stop anything the Democrats wanted to put in. And they did. That's how we got Obamacare, remember? Not a single Republican in the House, not a single Republican in the Senate voted for Obamacare. And it was rammed through anyway, remember? So, during those 2 years, why didn't Obama do his beloved comprehensive immigration reform, giving amnesty to 11 to 20 million illegal aliens? Why? Because even the Democrats couldn't go along with it. Because some of the Democrats live in states, and some of the Democrats live in congressional districts, where even their people said, what are you talking about? No! Well, why in those first 2 years, when he had the filibuster-proof majority in the Senate, and he had the House, and he had the White House, why didn't he then do the UN treaties to go after the so-called greenhouse gases? He could have rammed it through. Because there are Democrat senators and Democrat congressmen who live in states that depend on coal-fired power plants. They live in states that are oil-producing states. They live in states where their people said, we don't want to see our energy prices skyrocket. We don't want to cripple the economy of the United States of America for a theory that actually has been proven wrong for the last 17 years and 10 months. You realize there's been no global warming over the last 17 years and 10 months. You realize that, right? But somehow, if you disagree that the science is, quote, settled, somehow you're the denier not looking at science. I'm looking at the science, and over the last 17 years and 10 months, there has been zero global warming. So what's going on? He's doing what he wants to anyway. And what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? What's Congress going to do about it? Will the courts do anything about it? Because this is not what America's supposed to be. I don't care whether he's a Democrat, a Republican, a conservative, a liberal, a progressive, a socialist, black, white, Asian, polka dot, purple. Who cares? What he's doing is unconstitutional. And the thing that makes America different, the whole grand experiment of what this nation is this idea. The idea, the American exceptionalism is not the people of America. I mean, come on, let's be honest. We're people. People are people. We have the same DNA around the world. You can have the same intelligence around the world. Just because you're born in America doesn't make you a better human being. What makes us exceptional is the idea of America, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with these inalienable rights, that we have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those things make us different, and that unleashes unbelievable creativity, unbelievable entrepreneurs, unbelievable wealth creation. And the part of that idea is the government stays out, and that the government has powers only vested in it with the permission of the people. The people give the government permission. Now we flipped it. The government is now giving you permission on what you can do. That's not how it was set up. That's not what made us exceptional. And we had this thing called the rule of law, so that we knew an objective law. This was what the law was. Not what nine justices in robes said, not some kind of an oligarchy, not what one president said, some kind of royalty, not what Congress said, but what the law said. And that you had representation. If Obama's going around all of that, then all that's gone. And isn't he? Isn't that what he's doing right now? Then let's go through these one by one then. Okay, so 5 million more in illegal amnesty. We're talking about in just a couple of weeks. We're going to hear this supposedly. 5 million more. Did you see this? This is from CNSNews.com. There's a new Pew survey out. They did this survey in Mexico. They did 1,000 face-to-face interviews with adults 18 and over, late April, early May of this year. And listen to what they found. One-third of Mexicans said if they could, one-third of the country says if they could, they would move to the United States. You think we can handle that? One-third of their country wants to come here. I remember it wasn't long ago. I think it was a year and a half ago I saw the survey. They did this survey all around the world. It was like 1,000 people in each country that they surveyed. And they were asking, one of the questions was, if you could leave your country and go anywhere, where would you go and would you go? And something around the number of 600 million said they would come to the United States if they could. Guys, the country has around 320 million people in it. This is why you actually need borders. You know, Michael's always talking about language, borders, culture. And this is why. You can't take everybody. And it will change your country. Look, we are a nation of legal immigrants, and we will continue to be. We take more legal immigrants every year than any other country on the face of the planet. But we should have some control and some say over who those immigrants are, shouldn't we? And by the way, back when we used to take all comers, There was no welfare. There were no food stamps. There was no bilingual education. There were no bilingual ballots. You came and you became American. And you either sink or swim time is what it was. Sink or swim. Now, not so much. One third of the Mexicans want to move to America. Wow. By the way, did you see that Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto went to California and said America is, quote, the other Mexico. America is the other Mexico, according to the president of Mexico. Of course, 60% of his own people disapprove of what he's done to the economy there. A plurality of Mexicans think life is better in America, and a third want to move to America. Jerry Brown, by the way, though, said all Mexicans are welcome in California. Isn't that nice? Oh, yeah. He said, you're all welcome in California. Monday evening, California Governor Jerry Brown. All Mexicans, including illegal aliens, are welcome in California. LA Times reporting. Brown spoke to the interwoven histories of Mexico and California, nodded to immigrants in the room, saying it didn't matter if they had permission to come to the United States. You're all welcome in California. Eh, see, it really doesn't matter. You know that Brown has already made California a sanctuary state. He's given driver's licenses to illegal aliens, expanded financial aid to illegal aliens, and President of Mexico Nieto reportedly thanks state officials for embracing foreigners, citing the measures that extend state benefits to illegal aliens. Isn't that great? I mean, it's just perfect. There's also this. Two top federal judges telling the Washington Examiner that the nation's immigration courts are in chaos. We have a backlog now. 375,000 cases waiting for 227 judges. That means we'll have about a three-year delay in hearings for illegal aliens. So how long is the delay for the legal aliens? See, talk about unfair. The people who have been waiting to come here legally, do it the right way, they're getting screwed. The judges said, we saw that Obama pledged $2 million to AmeriCorps to help us with defense lawyers to get these cases through, and we haven't seen any of that money yet. We need something done. This is out of control. And we also found out, according to the Daily Caller, the Justice Department has now opened a new way to get asylum from Guatemala. All you have to do if you're a woman is claim that you're in a domestic violence situation with your husband or boyfriend, and you get to stay. I'm sure that won't be abused. I mean, it just keeps getting better. I haven't even gotten into the whole UN treaty with the so-called greenhouse gases and what's going on not going to Congress before you start bombing Libya and Syria. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. Let me get at least one call in here real quickly to start this up. Let's go to Kevin, WABC. Kevin, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp filling in.
Greg, doing a great job. Opening monologue, spot on. My take on this is the Republicans are a bunch of cowards, and I'm a registered independent. See, here's the game. They don't have the cojones to do immigration reform, so they're going to let Obama do it with the stroke of a pen so they don't get affected in the midterm elections. They really deep down want all of these people to stay for the big businesses to do the dirty work that Americans won't do.
Well, I agree with that to a point. Here's what I think is going on, Kevin. In the Republican Party, there is a split, right? The Tea Party people are more on our side of saying, hey, wait a second. No. We're not doing amnesty. And then the type you're talking about, the inside the Beltway Republicans, want the cheap labor for their big business cronies. So on the one side, half the Republicans want that, and the Democrats want the cheap votes. You add it up together, and it's screwing you and me. Kevin, thanks. Got to run. Just getting started. Let's get into what Obama wants to do going around the Senate on this UN deal, too. We'll hit it in a minute. This is the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp filling in.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
This is the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. We're talking about President Obama going around Congress, looking like he's ready to do 5 million more illegal alien amnesty, going around Congress for some kind of a UN treaty on global warming. We'll get you more of the details. Maybe going around Congress and bombing Syria, who knows, maybe even Libya. Even Democrats are upset about that. Let me get some of your thoughts. Let's start with Bill, WBAP in Dallas. Bill, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in. Go right ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
Problem is I don't see him as being Obama. I see him as rather as the solution. The problem is the people. They're really stupid. They're really bad. And they're learning the hard way. And it's going to take someone like Obama to train them. And it's a long way around, but it's the only reality we have. We're already in the explosion. We've already lost our country.
Yeah, you're saying sometimes it has to get worse before it gets better.
It is getting worse. Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to keep getting worse. And that's how the people are going to learn. Otherwise, they won't learn. There's no way these people are going to be taught how to do it. They're not going to get the they're just complacent. They don't care.
Gotcha. Bill, thanks. I think part of that's true. You know, things go in big swings. The pendulum swings. And if you remember before Reagan came into power and brought over all the Reagan Democrats, we were really, really going down the Jimmy Carter progressive road. And then when he drove the country into a ditch, we swung back. Now, it took two terms here. Are we getting to that point now where maybe people are starting to figure this out, that this doesn't work? This stuff doesn't work? Let me get Joseph in, WABC. Joseph, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Go ahead.
How are you doing?
Doing well.
Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Same to you.
All right. Now, regarding these illegals, now, you know very well indeed, you know, that in 1986, Reagan very reluctantly signed into law the Simpson-Mazzoli bill, right?
Sure, the first amnesty. 3 million people.
Right. 3 million approximately. But do you know what had happened prior to that? Word had gone around the world, right, that was going to happen, most likely.
Yeah, hang on there, Joseph. We want to get a little bit more from you, but we're up against the clock here. We'll get into that and the UN greenhouse gas treaty. It's all coming up on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
This is the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, sitting in, and we're talking about what's going on with President Obama going around you and going around Congress, because you elect Congress, right? They're your representatives going around you, and he told you he would. And what are they going to do about it? We did it with the Young Dream Act, so-called. Now he's told, his senior aides have told MSNBC, when he comes back from Europe, he's going to do this new amnesty for 5 million more. We get the Pew survey, a third of Mexicans want to move to America if they can. A third. We've got them going after a new UN treaty, going around the Senate on that. Not really a treaty so much, but definitely going to try and do some legal binding things on so-called greenhouse gases. And we've got even Democrats complaining that it looks like Obama's getting ready to bomb perhaps Syria and Libya without even going to Congress. But hey, he's the president. He's the decider. He gets to decide. What do you think? Well, we had Joseph on the line here from WABC, wanted to talk about Reagan's first amnesty way back in 1986. Joseph, you're on the Savage Nation. Greg Knapp here. Go right ahead.
25% claimed that they would love to come to the United States, settle down here. But the fact is that the other 75% are trying, you know, their best to get into this country. Now, regarding 1986, you know, Reagan reluctantly signed that bill into law. Once that happened, and then according to that law, right, only those who have been living in this country since before 1982, right, could apply for the amnesty. However, during 1986, word went around the world that this was going to happen, the amnesty. Hence, people from India, Pakistan, Egypt, all over the world poured into this country, and then many of the farm owners and all that, they provided them with doctored documents at a fee, you know, and then, but it was too late. They found out eventually the illegalities happening, but nevertheless, they just ignored it. And, of course, there was the provision whereby employers had to call a toll-free number to verify the Social Security numbers of those.
Yeah, bottom line, what you're saying, Joseph, here is that, even that amnesty got exploited. When you reward something, you get more of it. People came in. How are you going to prove when you had been here and when you hadn't been here? Same kind of thing that's already happening with Obama's Teen Dream Act. And then, of course, we have people getting on welfare because a lot of the illegal aliens who come in, the vast majority of them, are not prepared to be able to make it on their own in this country at the level above poverty. So, therefore, hey, I qualify for it. I'm going to go get it once you're legal. And we're told, oh, no, that won't happen. It's already happening with illegal aliens getting welfare. We're told that doesn't happen. But many of the states, when you go to apply for it, you don't have to prove that you're here legally. So they do get it. And, of course, their children get it because they are now American citizens if they were born here, by the way that we interpret the Constitution. So, yeah, it's a big problem. And yet they're talking about expanding it, which means you'll get more of it. And, you know, average people like you and me are really getting tired of it. So what? So what are you going to do about it? Catherine, WBAP Dallas wants to chime in on this. You're in the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
I don't know what we're going to do about it, but something has to be done about it. As a 30-year contractor, I can't compete anymore with the Hispanics. They bid a job so low that the average person can't take the job. When there's two of us and 15 of them per job, and why do we need immigration reform? We already have laws in place to stop this. Why don't they enforce the laws that are in place and do something about that instead of trying to reform?
I think it's a great question, Catherine, and thanks for the call. Here's the first thing I wanted to get with you. You're dead on right. When you talk about fairness and people say somehow it's not fair, I don't understand this. So wait, you came into the country illegally. You've been working here illegally, living here illegally, driving here illegally, using somebody else's Social Security number illegally. And now you're saying somehow it's not fair that we want to enforce the law. How is that not fair? Secondly, what Catherine said about contract work. Think about all the small businesses in America, all the roofing businesses, all of the lawn care businesses, all of the maids who do business in homes and other places, all these different places of business that illegal aliens tend to get jobs in. The people who are running them the right way and only hiring American citizens and people who are legal immigrants with work visas, those people can't compete with the people who are hiring illegal aliens because they can pay a sub-minimum wage. They can do stuff off the books. They can do stuff without paying all their taxes. They can do all kinds of things around the law, and the guys that are trying to do it the right way keep losing out on the jobs because they have to charge more. Yeah, it's not fair at all. What about that fairness? What about the fairness to the American citizen, the low-skilled worker, his wages? What about the fairness to the illegal immigrant? None of that matters. Okay, so now we move on to the UN treaty. Listen to this. I saw the New York Times. Obama administration working towards a sweeping international climate change agreement to compel nations to cut their planet-warming fossil fuel emissions. Now, remember, this is a news story. They don't have those planet-warming fossil fuel emissions in quotes. They don't say so-called planet-warming fossil fuel emissions because they've bought it hook, line, and sinker that what you breathe out and plants breathe in is what's changed the climate. Now, as I mentioned, if you look at the facts, last 17 years and 10 months, there's been zero global warming. In fact, one of the guys from, the name escapes me now, Joe Bastardi, guy who got his meteorological degree at Penn State. He says, look at the satellite data. When we first started being able to really track this stuff in 1978, guess what was going on? The Pacific Ocean was in its warming trend. So for 30 years or so, we were warming. The Pacific Ocean has now gone into its cooling trend, and we haven't had any warming in 17 years and 10 months. The Atlantic Ocean is finishing a normal warming trend and about to go into a cooling trend. And if people like Joe Bastardi are correct, who say, really, our climate is based mostly on solar cycles, ocean cycles, we're going to find out. And the people who say, no, it's all based on man-made stuff, we're going to find out. So if you really think the science is settled, you might want to take a look at what's been going on. So Oh, yes. To cut their planet warming fossil fuel emissions, but without ratification from Congress. Oh, isn't that unconstitutional? Constitution. Come on, Greg. Under the Constitution, a president may enter into a legally binding treaty only if it is approved by a two-thirds majority of the Senate. Hey, remember when Bill Clinton did that as president? He got into the Kyoto Treaty back in 92, I think it was. Remember all the Democrats voting for that in the Senate, and it was those evil Republicans that blocked that? Do you remember? Oh, wait, that's not quite how it happened. Well, I'm sure all the Democrats voted. There were just too many. No, not all the Democrats? Well, I bet half the Democrats voted for that in the Senate. No? All right, some of the Democrats voted for that because, I mean, they're the guys that are on the right side of history, right? No. It failed 99-0. 99-0 in the Senate it failed under Bill Clinton. Why? Because we knew it was going to shoot us in the knees, economically speaking, compared to the rest of the world. And it would do nothing, seriously, statistically nothing, to change the climate. Even the people who think that man is responsible for everything going on in our climate will admit to you that if we do everything that's in these treaties, it will do zero statistically significantly to our climate. Well, let's just do it for fun anyway, just for grinsies. So President Obama, to sidestep that requirement of the Senate giving a two-thirds majority, President Obama's climate negotiators are devising what they call a politically binding deal. It would name and shame countries into cutting their emissions. Oh, well, we're going to name and shame them. I mean, because that's worked really well in Russia when he named and shamed Putin and told him he's on the wrong side of history. And you saw Putin's pulled totally out of Ukraine, totally turned around, has been... Oh, wait, that's not... All right, well, he named and shamed Iran, tell them that they should not be working towards a nuclear weapon, and they've really... All right. Well, he named and shamed ISIS, told them they were on the wrong side of history, and they've quit decapitating people and crucifying people and burying people alive and... Oh, wait, no, they haven't. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Naming and shaming, that'll work. Mm-hmm. Right. The deal is likely to face strong objections from Republicans on Capitol Hill and from poor countries around the world because it doesn't force us to do it. If you want a deal that includes all the major emitters, including the U.S., you cannot realistically pursue a legally binding treaty at this time, says Paul Bledsoe. He worked with Clinton and now working with Obama on this stuff. Okay, you want to really get down to it? Countries would be legally required to enact domestic climate change policies, but would voluntarily pledge to specific levels of emission cuts and to channel money to poor countries to help them adapt to climate change. This is worldwide redistribution of the wealth. Worldwide. And he can't do it. He can, because he'll have the EPA do it for us. You ready for that? Sound good? What are you going to do about it? Anything? Because somebody better. Let me get Craig in, WRJ Detroit. Craig, this is the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, filling in. Go right ahead.
Hey, this guy does not care about Congress or the Senate or nothing like that. He wants to be a dictator. Dr. Savage talked about this a couple weeks ago when he had the dictators there from Africa. I mean, this guy looks up to them. And if he can control us and control this United States like that, that would make his day, you know?
Well, I'll tell you, thanks for the call. I'll tell you this. He has said jokingly several times, sure it would be easier if I was like president of China, not have to go through this Congress. And then he decided he doesn't need to. Now, I know some people will go, come on, that's crazy. He doesn't want to be a dictator. But he doesn't want to have to go around. He doesn't want to have to go through Congress. He doesn't think he should have to. See, he thinks he knows what's best for this country. He says he won 2 terms, and so therefore he should get to do what he wants to do. Of course, what he also leaves out is everybody in Congress also just won an election. Some of the Senate people won it a while ago, but everybody in the House just won. Guess what? That's dominated by Republicans. So the American people have said, we want a divided government. We want a split government. We want somebody to be a check and balance on the president. And they need to be. Because this guy's out of control. Then we have what's going on with Islamic State. Fox News. President Obama and military leaders weighing a host of factors as they consider expanding airstrikes into Syria, including the Assad regime's demand to seek permission first and warnings that the strikes could trigger ISIS retaliation. Don't you think the Islamic State is doing everything to us that they could possibly do right now? You think they need any motivation for retaliation? I mean, they've been tweeting out about how they want to put their flag over the White House, how all the Islamic State and Muslims around the world should be rising up and striking Americans wherever they find them. They've decapitated an American photojournalist and are threatening to do the same to another journalist. Do you really think you need to worry about retaliation from the Islamic State on whatever you do? Now, here's an interesting thing. Even the Democrats are saying, you know what, before Obama gets us even deeper into this thing, he needs to come and talk to us. Senator Tim Kaine, Democrat, Virginia, said, yes, they pose a significant threat, but, quote, I do not believe that our expanded military operations against ISIL are covered under existing authorizations from Congress. Remember, it wasn't too long ago that President Obama and his people were coming out saying that authorization to use force that was done under George W. Bush isn't valid anymore and it just needs to be repealed. Now, all of a sudden, they're saying, oh, we have this 2002 authorization to use force. We can do what we want to. He doesn't want anyone having any input on what he's doing except him. What do you think? 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on board. 855-400-SAVAGE. We'll get your calls on this. And we may have time to start getting into that CNN audio that they say is audio of the shooting in Ferguson. Is it? Is it real? Is it complete? And if so, does it prove anything? All that coming up. This is the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
Hot Talk 560. KSFO.
This is the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, in for the doctor, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. We're going to get into the whole CNN audio of the Ferguson shooting. Is it real? Is it complete? And does it prove anything in just a bit? But we're talking about President Obama going around Congress again. He's saying that he will do it, up to 5 million illegal aliens given amnesty by him when he comes back from Europe. That's from one of his senior White House aides, the MSNBC. He's talking about trying to go around the Senate for a UN treaty. Well, but we understand it can't be, you know, legal, but we'll find a way to do what the UN wants to do. And even Democrats are saying, hey, you better come to us before you start bombing Syria. He says, no, think about it. What do you do? What can you do? And what should we do? Let me start with Marty, WBOB in Jacksonville, Florida. Marty, you are on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in. Go right ahead.
Pleasure as always. I spoke to you years ago. You were filling in for Roger Friedenberg. Anyway, I think Americans have a problem. I think they're schizophrenic because when we were talking some time ago about using drones to kill Americans on the other side, American Talibans, people were saying, oh, you can't kill Americans without a warrant or some nonsense. When we have bad dudes who are fighting against us, whether they're homegrown or they're not, we should kill them, like Israel does with the Mossad and the terrorists. We're over here taking sides, and I don't think there's any commonality here. I mean, the Democrats, some of them probably are good Americans, and probably some Republicans are not. But the thing is, instead of having a common theme to protect America, they're all, like, looking for points as far as their own sports team goes, you know. Like,
well, that may or may not be, Marty, but my point is, we have a constitutional system, and the president should come to Congress and say, we believe the Islamic State is a threat. This is what my military leaders have said is the way to fight this and protect us. And we believe we have to not only bomb in Iraq, but also bomb in Syria. And we believe we have to give weapons to the Peshmerga, and we have to help the Turkish army by giving them more weapons. So we want your approval on that. Don't you think he needs to get approval from Congress?
I think we're fooling around too much. We have to understand, we should know at this time who the bad guys are.
All right, you're not answering the question, but thanks for being in. Yes, you go to Congress. That's the answer. Let me give it to you, Marty. Yes, you go to Congress. And I don't want any boots on the ground. That doesn't work. with what we're fighting and the way that we will allow our army to fight. That's a problem. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
This is the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, doing a little guest hosting for the doctor, and you can jump in at 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. We're going to play the CNN audio because now we've got even people coming on CNN going, are you sure you guys aren't getting punked? This might be a hoax. This, you know, maybe you guys want to do a little bit better vetting and stuff before you throw it right out there. That's one of the reasons. The other reason is, if it is real, does it prove anything either way? And I think it's interesting. Then we move into Burger King. Have it your way. Are they traitors? Burger King working with a Canadian company to avoid paying taxes. And Warren Buffett's helping them. Wait, what? We're going to get into the details on that. And my take on it is it's really our government's fault. And then are you ready for concentration camp chic for your three-month-old to three-year-old? Well, it's out there. And the tolerant, inclusive, diverse left strikes again. All of that is happening this hour of the Savage Nation. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. And you're on the program. MichaelSavage.com online. Don't forget he's got his new book coming out, Stop the Coming Civil War, My Savage Truth. You can pre-order that now at Barnes & Noble and BarnesandNoble.com. All right, let's start with this whole CNN deal. Now, this came out, what, a couple weeks after this thing is over, the shooting in Ferguson, Michael Brown, shot by the police officer, Officer Wilson. And I got to explain this a little bit to you if you haven't heard it by now, because I don't know that it's real. CNN admitted they couldn't confirm that it was real. But they're playing it and running with it because they love it. And it's got a gentleman, and I use that term loosely, speaking over the gunshots. And what this guy's doing, dude is video chatting. And we don't know if he's video chatting on a dating site. We don't know if he's video chatting on a porn site. But he's talking about how pretty this woman is. And then you hear the gunshots in the background. So I just had to set that up so you're like, what is this dude talking about? All right, so here are what CNN alleges are the gunshots fired by Officer Wilson towards Michael Brown in Ferguson. Listen.
You are pretty. You're so fine. Just going over some of your videos. How could I forget?
Okay. First of all, that dude, what is up with that dude? You are so pretty. I am just going over some of your videos. He almost sounds like a really bad voice actor, doesn't he? So that's going on. And so then you got those six gunshots in fairly rapid succession. Then you have a pause of about 2.5 seconds. And then you have another four shots that you can hear if you really listen to this. And I've listened to it many, many, many times. But it brings up a lot of questions. Number one, is it real? Number two, is it complete? Number three, why the pause? And does it prove anything? Okay, now, basically all the witnesses have said that Michael Brown was struggling with the police officer in the car through the open window. Some have said it looked like Brown was trying to pull away. Others said it looked like he was pushing his way in. Others said that Brown had taken a swing. Even his friend Dorian Johnson now says Brown took a swing at the police officer. We know that the police officer has injuries from this. So, but almost all the witnesses say there was one shot fired inside the car. Then Michael Brown ran, then the officer got out of the car and shot at him. Well, there is no pause here. These are six shots in rapid succession. So where's the pause? Where's the first shot to the pause? So either this audio is incomplete or it's not real, if you believe the witnesses. And they all say that. Even Dorian Johnson says this, who was with Michael Brown right there. Then there's that 2 to 2.5 second pause or so. Two and a half, three second pause, right? What happened? Well, see, that shows. I mean, he shot him four times, and then he paused, and then he shot him again. It shows, obviously, it was a bad shoot. Could be. Could be. See, we don't know yet still. Even with this audio, I don't think it really sheds any light, because imagine, during this pause, Michael Brown turns around and says, "Don't shoot! I don't have a gun!" And he has his hands up. And then the policeman unloads with another six rounds. Well, that sure sounds like a bad shoot to me. But say that instead Michael Brown turns around after being shot at six times. Maybe he's hit once and he's pissed and he starts charging the police officer. And then the police officer shoots four more times and the last two hit him in the head. That could happen too. There's really no way to know. Once again, we're right back pretty much where we started. If the audio is even real, and if the audio is complete. I don't think it proves anything either way. And now we've got CNN commentators today going on New Day on CNN, and they were interviewing two law enforcement experts. And both of them said, "I told your producers, for all I know, this is something that one of those Howard Stern punk people have been doing." Wait, Howard Stern? Howard Stern couldn't fool CNN. I mean, there's no way Howard Stern's people could ever fool CNN. This is CNN, the most reliable news network out there. Oh, wait, we have some audio of when one of Howard Stern's guys punked CNN?
We have pictures of a couple of buildings, as I said, that are on fire. And that sirens have been loud and constant there in Napa for the last 2.5 hours. This is a storefront here that obviously was very damaged. Adam Schur is the PIO of the San Francisco Police. We have heard from a lot of people in San Francisco this morning, especially via social media, some saying they thought this was the big one. Adam, what kind of calls are you getting right now? Any damage, any injuries?
Yes, good morning. Well, because of the early morning, it was so early in the morning, most people were at their homes when it happened. And what we believe is that this was a rumbling from Howard Stern's butt crack.
Oh, dear. Oh, no. Yes, this is CNN. Hey, wait, can we get James Earl Jones? That was CNN. Yeah, that was good. But I'm sure they weren't punked here. So both of these guys are saying they don't think it's real. Both of these law enforcement guys came on and said, "We don't really think it's real. It's probably a hoax. But if it's not," they agreed with me, "that it doesn't shed much light on this thing either way." You know, Dorian Johnson said on MSNBC that, "I seen the fire come out of the barrel. I could see so vividly what was going on because I was so close." He said he was in arm's reach of Brown and the officer. This is when they were struggling in the police car through the open window. And then he said he saw blood pooling through his shirt on the side of the body when the shot came out. "The whole time the officer was holding my friend until the gun went off." So, okay, if that shot happened, and then there weren't any more shots until they took off running. He said Brown and Johnson took off running together. There were three cars lined up along the side of the street. Dorian Johnson crouched between one. Michael Brown ran by yelling, "Keep running, bro," and yelled it a second time. And then Brown made it past the third car, then blam, the officer took his second shot, striking Brown in the back. At that point, Johnson says Brown stopped, turned his hands, and said, "I don't have a gun, stop shooting." Okay, there is no way what we heard with those six shots is anything close to what Dorian Johnson is describing here, if it's complete. And CNN said that's all the audio they have, and the guy said it was complete. Listen one more time to that shooting.
"You are pretty. You're so fine. Just going over some of your videos. How could I forget?"
Okay, there's no way from that
beginning. And that's worth a turn.
Thank you. I'm sorry. There's no way from the first shot that there was time to do all the other things that Dorian Johnson said had before the second shot happened. So, I don't know, man. I think we're right back where we started. We don't know. And we're going to have to wait until we get all the evidence, till we get all the testimony under oath with cross-examination, and really see all the evidence before we leap to these conclusions. I'm willing to keep an open mind. See, I think there's a possibility the police officer really messed up. And I think there's a possibility that Michael Brown charged him. I think there's a possibility that either one of those is correct. And the people who say they know are really simply showing their agenda. Because there's no way you know. There's just no way you know. From what we have available to us, there's no way that you know. Let me get Ed in, WBOB. Ed, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in. Go right ahead.
It's funny how that guy's able to hear 10 shots out his window and, well, doesn't stop.
Well, it depends on what neighborhood you live in, right?
This is very true, but
I mean, maybe it's normal. It's a natural thing. You hear it every night, so eventually you get used to it.
It's clearly a host. Well, then the person on the other end wouldn't they be saying, hey, what's that behind you? I mean, it's just absurd. It's clearly a hoax.
It very well could be. Thanks for getting in. I mean, it could be. Of course, the person on the other end of the line, we don't even really know if that person was real. You know, it's some kind of a sex chat line or a dating line or a, that's another. But the only thing is, if this was really a hoax to CNN, then wouldn't if they were really going to do it, wouldn't the guy be like, oh, baby, I really like you. Wouldn't that be more of a hoax? Wouldn't that be funnier if you were really going to do the hoax? Oh, come on, I didn't say anything bad. Just saying. That would be funnier if you were going to really hoax the people, right? All right. Let me get John in on WJR. John, you're in the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon. The only reason CNN is playing this video, this noise video, whatever they have, is because CNN is laying off people. They need the ratings. They need viewers. That's it.
Yeah, it is. I think that's part of it. And CNN really has had kind of an agenda on this, haven't they? Along with MSNBC. I haven't seen exactly fair and balanced reporting down the middle on this thing. And this, they thought, was going to fit their agenda, but it really doesn't, because there's no way to tell either way exactly what's going on, right? All right, hey, if we're going to talk about guns, let me throw one more out at you. I'm sure you saw this. This one blew my mind. The little 9-year-old girl. She's in Vegas, and her parents take her to the shooting range. The shooting range allows you to shoot fully automatic weapons, fully automatic Uzi. Now, I've never had the chance to shoot fully automatic. I think that'd be a lot of fun. I'm interested in doing this. So she goes there. She's 9 years old. I have a 10-year-old daughter. Well, let me rephrase that. I used to have a 10-year-old daughter. She's now 12. I got a 12 and 15-year-old. And when she was 9, my daughter, I would not trust her with a handgun. And I would not trust her, let alone a handgun, let alone an Uzi. Even if I was there at the range, she was not ready to handle a handgun. Now she is. You know, different kids are at different levels of maturity. But she's 9 years old. And you can see in this video, he is standing right there with her, showing her how to shoot the Uzi where it's just set to the semi-automatic setting, where you pull the trigger once, you get one shot, right? So he's standing there with her. He puts his hand under her hand on the weapon, and she shoots one shot. Shows her how to stand and everything. Everything's okay by now. Then he says, all right, now we're going to go automatic. And he's not firmly holding the weapon with her. Now she's 9 years old. She's thin. She's a tiny little girl. And she shoots, and the recoil on the weapon starts an arc upwards, and one of the rounds catches the man in the head, and he is dead. Wow. Wow. We're going to let you hear that audio in just a minute, and the repercussions coming from it, because get ready, because the usual suspects are going to come out and say, this is why you don't have the right to own a weapon. We're going to go from stupid, awful training and a guy who didn't seem to know what he was doing and helping this young girl shoot an Uzi to, therefore, you shouldn't have the right to have an AR-15. That's what we're going to jump to. Mark my words. We'll get to it in just a moment. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. This is the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor.
This is CNN.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
You are pretty. You're so fine. Just going over some of your videos. How could I forget?
This is CNN.
CNN going crazy with that. That was the so-called shooting audio from Ferguson. Authentic? Complete? What do you think? This is the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Is it real? Is it complete? Does it really change anything? And then we'll get into this horrific situation. The little 9-year-old girl killing the range instructor with the Uzi in fully automatic mode. She's got to live with that the rest of her life, and she really did nothing wrong. She's a 9-year-old girl. We'll get to it. First, though, let's start with Richard at WGCB. Richard, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in. Go right ahead.
I have a possible explanation relative to what you're hearing and why what you're hearing is so odd and difficult to understand. It has to do with a doctored tape or a doctored recording. What you do is you record a subject that you might like to have, then you record another subject that you might like to have, and then you run them right one on top of the other. And you get both, and if they're done correctly, you have the sound, and this one naturally, because as you have been saying, things are not necessarily in order.
Yeah, it could be. Richard, I appreciate the call. It could be, and it's fairly easy now with all the computers we have of having multi-tracks. People can have that on their laptops now, and there's all kinds of ways you can play with it. Well, the FBI is looking at it. They're pretty good at knowing when you've doctored a tape, so we'll probably find out pretty soon. All right, the other thing we had going on was the 9-year-old girl shooting the Uzi at the target range, and big mistake on how I watched this video. Listen to this. Listen to this video.
Keep that held in. Otherwise, the gun won't fire, okay?
Showing her how to stand.
Right there. Just like that.
Getting ready to shoot.
Okay, turn your this leg forward. There you go, just like that.
Here she goes.
All right, go ahead and give me one shot.
It's just the one shot.
All right, full auto.
So then it goes full auto. You hear it, and you hear her scream. And that's because she knew it got out of control, she lost control of it, and it shot the range instructor. He died at the hospital. Well, yes, tragic situation. Range instructor really blew it. 9-year-old girl has to live with it. And I'm telling you, people are not going to say, see, this is why you shouldn't even have semi-automatic weapons. We'll hit it in a second. Take your phone calls. My name's Greg Knapp. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage.
You are pretty. You're so fine. Just going over some of your videos. How could I forget?
I don't know if that's real or not, but I think that guy has a future in late night urban radio. And I kind of, you're on the Quiet Storm with the man who talks to the video chicks. Right now. I mean, it's kind of weird, man. Kind of strange. This is the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in. You can join by dialing up 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. And, of course, we've also got the story about the very tragic story about the Uzi. Firing range instructor has the 9-year-old have the Uzi. Now, he has his hand underneath her hand, but he's not holding her hand so that he's helping hold the weapon, and the weapon gets away from her. It's a fully auto Uzi. She's 9. She's little. Very, very bad technique. And he's dead. Horrible for the girl. But did you see what Joe Scarborough said on Morning Joe? Oh, he went off. And he said he can't imagine that the Founding Fathers would have wanted this. A man is dead and the little girl's life is ruined. Why are you putting an Uzi in the hands of a 9-year-old girl? It is sick. It is sick. I don't think it's sick. Why is it sick? I mean, if you do it the right way, I wouldn't do it with my 9-year-old daughter, but I don't think there's something inherently sick about letting a child shoot a fully automatic weapon if it is done correctly. Why is that sick? Explain that to me. She's shooting a target. So? There are people who think hunting is sick. There are people who think target shooting in general is sick. Scarborough went on. And he said, you know, to give a child such a powerful weapon. He said, I find it hard to believe that our founding fathers put together a Second Amendment to give 8-year-old children the right to fire semi-automatic weapons. Okay, you got it wrong again. This is a fully automatic weapon, Joe. See how I told you? They're going to go from fully automatic to semi-automatic because many of them don't even know the difference. Don Lemon got caught on that last week. A talk show host was on with him, and Don Lemon said, I was able to buy a fully automatic weapon with no problem, no questions asked. No, you weren't. You bought a semi-automatic weapon. Well, you're using semantics now. No, it's not semantics. There's a huge difference. Some people can buy fully automatic weapons, but, man, you have to jump through a ton of hoops to get there, like these gun ranges. But he goes on, if you think that's what the Constitution of the United States says, you should really go back and read the Second Amendment and read the cases and read what Scalia said about what the Second Amendment is, and it's not. Okay, listen, I agree with you. The Second Amendment is not so that a 9-year-old girl can shoot a fully automatic Uzi at a gun range. However, the Second Amendment is about defending yourself from your own government. That's why it was written. And it is about defending yourself against all comers. If you look at all the writings around the Second Amendment, that's what it was all about. Defending yourself from your own government and defending yourself and your family from all comers. That's why we have the Second Amendment. And part of that is teaching your family how to use a weapon. Now, I'm not suggesting you have to teach them how to use an Uzi, but do you not think that the founding fathers were teaching their children at a very young age how to shoot their musket? Yeah, they were. Let me take some of your calls on this because I know a lot of people have something to say about that, but I'm just telling you how quickly this is going to morph into semi-automatic weapons are bad too. Let me go to Matt in North Carolina, WFNC. Matt, you're in the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Hey, thank you. I agree with what you're saying about the Second Amendment. And it's the parents' right and the responsibility to teach these kids at a young age, proper weapons handling and safety. Especially if they're going to grow up exposed to weapons. However, like you said, it's tragic, but a 9-year-old should never be given a fully automatic Uzi. It's unfortunately the parents' fault. It's also the range instructor's fault.
The other ranges that do this say, we have an age limit, and we have a height limit and a weight limit, and when we allow children to fire these fully automatic weapons, we are wrapped around the child, holding the weapon with the child as if we're doing the shooting, and that way the weapon is controlled. The child might still be pulling the trigger, but we have our hands on it and we're controlling the weapon. That's the way you would do it if you were going to do this.
Yeah, exactly. His hand should have been on the weapon, taking that recoil for the girl. And, I just want to say, it is important for parents to teach their kids if they're going to be exposed to weapons at a young age.
Yeah, and that's the point. And thanks, Matt, for getting in. But Joe Scarborough says it's sick. It's sick because it was an Uzi. I don't know that it's inherently sick. I just think it was done poorly. And I'm not saying you have a right to shoot a fully automatic weapon at a gun range. That's debatable on the Second Amendment, I guess. Although, it says Congress shall pass no law. But, hey, is it inherently sick? Or was it just a really tragic situation based on a range instructor who blew it? Let me get Matthew on, WMAL, on this. Matthew, you're on the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Say that there are four things that each inherently elevated the level of danger for this situation. The first being that for a 9-year-old girl, probably not that familiar with weapons, the Uzi's got a very short muzzle length.
True.
The barrel, which means that it's really easy to accidentally sweep somebody if you let it get out of your control.
Right, right. And she's little, and it did. The recoil had it going in an upward arc, and she couldn't stop it. And people freak out, like you said, who aren't really very familiar with guns. Instead of letting go of the trigger, you just freak out and keep it pulled down. And that's what happened.
To your left, you turn to your right, I mean, my first, when I was shooting my 9-year-old, I was a 10/22 Ruger, a long barrel. The second issue, and I've seen this a lot, I wouldn't be surprised if the girl came from a non-gun ownership family.
Could very well be. There's, I mean, we're speculating, but could very well be, because this was like, you know, the big thing on the side of the road. They got a big sign, come shoot a machine gun. And they might have said, hey, that sounds fun, and might not have any idea how to shoot a weapon at all.
It becomes treated like an exotic destination, a fun time, and that kind of reduces it to a level of a toy.
Right. And the way to fix that is that the range should not allow her to touch the weapon until it has changed from being a toy to being a deadly weapon. And again, that's another mistake they made. I think you're dead on. Let me get Jason in, KCMO. Jason, this is the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I would like for, hopefully, someone will do a backstory on this gentleman who's probably taught dozens of young girls in just semi-automatic weapons and revolvers and not just fully automatic Uzis. And I'd like to see one of these girls step forward and say, yeah, he was my instructor. And per him teaching me, I was able to defend myself with a firearm and save my life or the life of my kids or somebody like that. I don't want to see him die in vain for something that he absolutely enjoyed.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not mad at the guy. I feel horrible for him. He's dead. But he did make a mistake. If you watch this video, there's no way that should be how he had her shoot this weapon.
Agreed. No, it was total negligence on his part. I'm totally with you on that. But it's still something. At least he died. You know,
well, your point is it's not inherently sick, like Joe Scarborough is trying to tell you.
No,
right?
Watching Joe Scarborough every morning is inherently sick.
Thank you, Jason. I appreciate you getting in. Well, the thing is, I'm telling you, Joe Scarborough isn't even the far left, and he's already trying to make this about semi-automatic weapons. I'm sure he'll just say he misspoke, but I guarantee you that the people who are totally against the Second Amendment will be saying that, hey, this is why we can't have not only just children, but why Americans shouldn't have the right to do this. Even adults shouldn't have the right to go and shoot off a fully automatic weapon, right? No, we can't have that. It's very scary. All right, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE gets you in. Let me get Jim in, Colorado Springs, KVOR. Jim, you're in the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I was riding along down the road here, and I was sitting there listening to them gunshots with that guy on that, with
the Ferguson shooting.
Yeah, and, you know,
supposedly.
I've heard it more this afternoon than I have in a while. I'm like, you know, I've heard them gunshots like that before, and I just realized that my kids play Ghost Recon and Battlefield, and I bet if my son was here right now, he could name the actual gun, because there's so many different guns that you can pick, and they all sound, you know, have their distinct sound and the echo. And there's not a doubt in my mind that I ain't heard that gun in Battlefield or
Ghost. So you think it's fake?
Oh, absolutely. The guy was probably with his girlfriend. His son was probably sitting over on his television playing Battlefield or something. Sounds just like
gotcha.
The guns in Battlefield.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it. We'll see. Time will tell what's going on with the FBI looking at it. Hey, you want to know how crazy things have gotten? I mean, just weird. And of course, remember, now this was just a little mistake. Look at this. Have you heard of the high street retailer Zara? Zara sells fashionable items for, I guess, all, but also children. And they sell it in Great Britain and Israel and France and Denmark and Albania and Sweden. And they put out a very interesting shirt the other day. They called it the Sheriff Striped Pajamas. And it's a blue and white striped shirt, horizontal stripes, with what they call a sheriff star on it that looks an awful lot like the Jewish star. And it really looks like they're selling a shirt for three-month-old children to three-year-old children that looks like something that you would wear in a Holocaust camp. I mean, really? You're like, what? People went nuts on social media over it. They said, well, there's the word sheriff is written right across the badge, and there's those little circles at the end of every one of the points, so it's obviously a sheriff star. Well, why would you have blue and white horizontal stripes with a sheriff shirt? I've watched a lot of Westerns in my time, and they said they were trying. They said, listen, we were just trying to pay homage to the classic Western films. Do you remember the Western film where the sheriff wore a blue and white horizontal striped shirt that looked like he was at a Holocaust camp with a star on it? Oh, yeah, that was my favorite. I think John Wayne was in that one. Yeah. That was called, Oy Vey, young man. I think that's what it was. That was really good. I liked that one. Oh, man. Come on. They've pulled it now. I ain't going to hit you. I ain't going to hit you. Like hell I'm not. And then he punched him. It was great. It was awesome. Come on. Are you kidding me? There's no doubt that this was done for this. By the way, Zara did this before. In 2007, the retailer had to take back a handbag because one customer pointed out, did you realize this design has swastikas in it? Oh, well, we didn't mean to do that. Come on. This is crazy. Let me get Lee in Dallas, WBAP, talking about the 9-year-old with the Uzi. Lee, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. Great show, man, by the way. But what I wanted to do right quick is explain that I have taught my children and my grandchildren about the power of a weapon. And I taught my grandson from the time he was 4 years old. I started with a semi-automatic CO2-powered pistol, taught him gun safety, and now I've graduated him to a he's 8 years old now, 22-caliber semi-automatic pistol. He never, ever touches any weapon unless he asks me to make sure it's unloaded and if there's one in the chamber. He knows more about gun safety than the average adult in this country. But I would never, ever hand him my semi-automatic AK-47, much less if I had a fully automatic. I would never put one in the hands of him, and he's very experienced about gun safety.
Right. Let me ask you this, though, Lee. Would you, if you were at the gun range and he said, Grandpa, I'd like to try that AR-15, would you say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll let you do it if I am holding the weapon with you. I'm going to put my hands right over your hands. I'm going to get behind you. I'm going to stand right with you. I'm going to wrap my arm around your arm, my hand around your hand. Now, I'm going to let you pull the trigger, but I'm holding it for you because this thing has a big kick and you're not quite ready for it. Would you do that?
No, under no circumstances.
How come?
I know the power of the weapons, and he does too. I don't think he would even go along with it.
But so. Why not? What would be wrong with that?
Because the gun is just too much for a 9-year-old.
But you're holding it, essentially. I mean, it's kind of like if you were holding it, like I described, how could that be too much? Because you're the one who's controlling the weapon at that point.
That's true. But even if he's holding it and he's got it shouldered properly,
right?
It's just too much weapon for a small frame.
I agree that I wouldn't do it either. What I'm trying to get to is it inherently sick, as Joe Scarborough tried to say?
No, it's not sick. It's an unfortunate thing that came about, and if we only knew the thousands and thousands, I have my own gun range behind my place out here, and if we only knew the thousands of kids out here that are actually being trained properly, and no incidents like this ever happen. This is like, you know, it's like the airplane crash. The only reason it gets all the publicity is because so many people die at one time. The only reason this is getting so much publicity is because it's a gun involved.
Well, and how tragic it was. Yeah, and I appreciate the call, and I appreciate what you're doing in the way that you're slowly bringing your grandson along to understand how lethal guns are, how serious it is to deal with them, and how you must be safe when you deal with them. And that way, making sure that this is a guy who's going to be able to handle it properly and take care of himself and his family. And I think, you know, that used to be really what virtually every American family did. Really, right? I mean, you had the musket hanging over the mantle because you had to worry about coyotes. You had to worry about all the stuff that if you were out in the, you know, out in the West or out in the pioneer days or even just out in any kind of a rural area. I think even in most of the city life back in the day. Appreciate the call. Miley Cyrus was really promoting youth homelessness. We're going to tell you how that turned out in just a second. Not as well as she'd hoped. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. This is the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. The only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-I-N.
This is the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor. Did you see what happened on the VMAs the other night? No, of course you didn't, because you have a life and didn't want to waste it. And I'm the same way. But I looked at it the next morning to get ready for the show. And one of the things that was on there is that Miley Cyrus, instead of going up to receive her well-deserved award, let me say, she sent up a young homeless man, 22 years old, his name was Jesse Helt, to try to bring attention to the plight of the American young homeless problem. Dude has an outstanding warrant for his arrest. An incident in 2010 where he tried to break into an apartment. He got probation. Then he violated his probation. And now they're coming back to him trying to figure out what's going on. By the way, he's not really homeless because his mommy says he could still live there. He just decided he wanted to go to L.A. and make it big. Couldn't. And doesn't want to come home with his tail between his legs. Other than that, good job, Miley.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, how you doing? This is The Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, sitting in for the doctor. 855-400-SAVAGE gets you on the program, 855-400-7282. You can go online to michaelsavage.com. And don't forget Michael's new book, Stop the Coming Civil War, My Savage Truth. You can pre-order now at Barnes & Noble. Well, I want to talk about Burger King. Burger King is trying to have it their way, and President Obama's not happy. They're betraying America. They're not patriotic. Do you agree? We're going to get into the whole deal of this whole tax inversion thing. Don't worry. We're going to keep it simple. You don't have to be an accountant. You don't have to put the eye shade on. You don't have to have your eyes roll back in your head and go into some kind of a diabetic coma. All right? It's going to be easy. Then the IRS, they're actually admitting that, well, yeah, we may have destroyed some evidence, but we didn't know it was evidence, and you guys are just crazy. Dude, it was like 2 years ago this whole thing happened. Are we still talking about the IRS going after the conservative Tea Party groups? Come on. We'll hit that, and are you ready for your car to be mandated to broadcast its location, direction, and speed every second you're driving? Because the Department of Transportation would like that, please. Thank you very much. All right, moving on. What do you mean moving on? I don't like that. Too bad. All that, and in one professor's class, saying bless you could cost you your grade. It's all this hour of the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp. I'm in for the doctor. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. You've heard about these tax inversions. What really is a tax inversion? I mean, it just sounds really weird, doesn't it? Well, it's real simple. It's where a American company merges with a foreign company, and as long as that foreign company has 20% ownership, you can claim your company is headquartered in that foreign country, and you can pay the foreign country's tax rate for all your overseas profits. Now, the profits you make here in America, you're still going to pay the taxes here in America. Yeah, but all these other taxes, they won't. And it's not patriotic. They're not paying their fair share. And it's okay, hold on a second. I want you to put yourself in the position of somebody who owns this company. And you have affiliates overseas. Let's say that you also are earning money in Italy. And the profits you make in Italy, you're paying taxes on. All this stuff is happening in Italy, right? You're providing your goods and your services, and you're paying your workers, and you're making profits over there, and you're paying all the taxes that Italy requires. Now, if you want to bring back those profits to America to invest and grow your business in America, you're going to have to pay taxes again in America on the profits you've already paid taxes on. Now you get a credit for the amount that you spent over there, but you're going to have to pay more to bring that money back. Now, does it make sense to move that money back here and pay more taxes, or would it make more sense to leave it overseas and invest over there? Now, remember, you have a fiduciary responsibility to your stockholders, and you have a responsibility to try to grow your business. Which one would you do? Well, I'll bring it back to America because I'm patriotic. Who decided that patriotism is paying more taxes than you're required to by the law? Who decided that patriotism means growing the government? Who decided that patriotism means spending more and more? Do you realize that since the economic crisis in 2008, we've doubled our debt? That just came out today. Doubled it. Is that patriotic? Who decided this? The left. You know, paying taxes can be patriotic, but I can be just as patriotic for paying half as much. No, that's not patriotism. By the way, here's the other little secret. We are the only industrialized country that taxes overseas profits this way. See, Toyota has plants here in the United States of America, right? The profits they make on the Toyotas made here, they pay taxes on here. Now, when they take that money back to Japan, they don't pay more taxes to Japan. They've already paid taxes on that money, and they take it back tax-free to Japan and invest it in Japan. Same thing if you're a company from France or Italy or Germany or Great Britain or wherever. You pay taxes where you make the profits, then you take that money back to your home country and you don't pay any extra taxes. Doesn't that make sense? You know why they do that? Because then those companies bring the money back. When you bring the money back, now you can invest. Now you can grow the business. Now you can hire more people in this country. I mean, if you really care about this country, President Obama and Congress, what you should do is very simple. You fix the tax code. Now, there's a couple different things here. Okay, so number one, our tax code for corporate taxes is the highest in the industrialized world, 35%. When you look at Canada, when you look at their national rate of 15% and add in their provincial rates, they're around 25-26%, depending on which province you're in. Huge advantage. In fact, as Forbes was pointing out, there's a KPMG report called Focus on Tax, and it ranked Canada as the number one country with the most business-friendly tax structure among developed countries. That's when they add up the tax cost to businesses from statutory labor cost to harmonized sales tax and all these other things that you really don't care about unless you're an accountant. But suffice it to say, it's number one. Why? Because they put in a conservative government under Harper. And they have cut taxes across the board. And guess what? It's working. And all the people that said it was going to cost Canada all this money because they just weren't going to have as many taxes, they've got companies moving to Canada. They have an economic boom going on in Canada. They never even had the housing crisis that we had in Canada. So why don't we do it? So instead of us going, you know what, that's a good idea, we ought to fix our tax system, we're going, no. What we're going to do is we're going to go after these companies that are unpatriotic. Now, here's the other problem with this thing. So problem number one is that our corporate tax rate is too high. Problem number two is the corporate rate we have, the nominal rate of 35%, the big companies don't pay that. They have an effective tax rate that is much lower. You know why? Because the big companies are playing the game. See, the big companies have their lobbyists in D.C., and they are having the tax code written in a way that benefits them so that some of these big tax companies, their effective tax rate is almost zero. Now, most of them pay some. Most of them are probably in the 15 to 20, 25% range. But the medium-sized companies and the small businesses, they're paying pretty much the full rate. There's a credit here or there. But it's about manipulating this tax code and having our government do crony socialism and having our government pick winners and losers. That's got to stop. But see, when everybody says, yeah, okay, let's fix the tax code, President Obama doesn't want to fix the tax code and have it be revenue neutral. No. He wants to increase taxes on these companies after you strip out all the loopholes. Look, there's two options you can do very simply. Put the corporate tax rate at zero and watch businesses boom here in America. And remember, if you're here in America doing this stuff, that means that you're hiring people here in America. You're expanding here in America. All those things would help our economy here in America. And as you know, corporations don't really pay taxes. They just pass it on to you and the cost of the goods and services anyway. So does it make any sense? Now, I think not. I've put the corporate tax rate at zero, but I know that's not going to happen. So what's the second possibility? Second possibility is take out all the loopholes, all the deductions, everything else, and simply say, you know what? We're going to have a 10% corporate tax rate in the United States of America and watch the businesses flow to America. No loopholes, no credits, no special deals. No this for this company and this for that company. Nope. Sorry. Done. We're not manipulating the tax code. 10% across the board. That's it. And watch the business flow into America. But instead, we want to say it's Burger King's fault. How dare they? I mean, how dare they? But see, this is the whole deal. We've got favoritism in the tax code. We got carve-outs. We got exclusions. We got deductions. We got lobbyists. It's your constitutional right to lobby. I know, but I don't think this is what they were looking for. And instead, we get idiots like Senator Sherrod Brown saying, we should turn to Wendy's old-fashioned hamburgers or White Castle sliders and boycott Burger King because Burger King's abandoned their country. That's Senator Sherrod Brown. Brown said, to help businesses grow in America, didn't actually say the words boycott, but to help businesses grow in America, taxpayers have funded public infrastructure, workforce training, and incentives to encourage R&D and capital investment. Runaway corporations benefited from those policies, but want U.S. companies to pay their share of the tab. The corporations have paid their taxes, too, and the people who work from them have, too. And by the way, the people on the Burger King side say, really, this isn't all about taxes. This is about us trying to expand our brand worldwide, and Tim Hortons has a great expansion there that we can do with them, and they fit our model, and they're going to help us with breakfast so that we can compete better with Wendy's and Taco Bell and McDonald's, and we think this is good for us. And here's one other little thing to remember. Right now, the majority owner of Burger King is a Brazilian hedge fund. It's already not American. Here's the other thing to remember. Yes, it's headquartered in Miami, and right now, even if this deal goes through, which it probably will, do you realize that all of the profits, all the corporate profits made in America, there will still be taxes paid on those profits here in America? That's all not changing. So to boycott Burger King is simply going to hurt the individual franchises, hurt the people who work there, hurt their suppliers who supply to Burger King. It's not going to do anything to go after so-called unpatriotic people. This is how we are running our country into the ground. And then, of course, don't forget Warren Buffett. Mr. Warren Buffett, who says that he wants to pay more in taxes. But somehow, every year, when he files his tax return, he doesn't check the little box where he can donate to the Treasury. Do you realize on your tax form, you can check a little box and you can donate money to the Treasury? I mean, if you think you're undertaxed and you want to help the country out, you can just check this little box and write a check. Warren Buffett could write a multi-million dollar check to the government every year. I wonder why he doesn't. I mean, he gives away a lot of money to charity. Why doesn't he just check the little box and give away millions, maybe tens of millions, maybe even $100 million to the government every year? I mean, he's got the money. Why doesn't he? Because he says do you think maybe it's because he thinks he can spend his money better than the government can? Nah, I'm sure that's not it. Well, he now is helping this merger go through. Mr. Patriot, according to President Obama. Isn't that interesting? Let me get all your thoughts on it, too. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282 gets you on board. Danny, KCMO wants to jump in. You're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Yeah, a lot of people have a problem with Warren Buffett's hypocrisy, not that he's getting the lower rate on that. And I was going to see if you could also put a shout out on, what Kris Kobach's having to deal with the voter ID here in Kansas, with the Eric, with the Eric Holder lawsuit and things like that. If you could get into that a little bit too, but I think a lot of people just would kind of shy away from going to Burger King because just the idea that he's such a hypocrite. He's advocated for Obamacare and for people to pay higher taxes, and then when it comes to one of his own enterprises, here he is opting to go, the cheapest route he can get.
Absolutely, Danny, thanks. Well, of course, what Buffett says in his defense is, oh, I still think this is bad, but as long as it's the law and other companies can do it, I can't put my company at a disadvantage. Well, isn't that what all these companies are saying, too? You can't put your company at a disadvantage. This is a global economy. And by the way, Buffett could do this fine, like I said, not put his company at a disadvantage, not hurt his stockholders, and then at the end of the year, he could check that little box and donate millions of dollars to the government, and he doesn't. And I think we all know why. I mean, look, this is a global economy, and even when you get to this whole idea of what is an American company, right now, if I buy the Toyota made here in the United States of America, it has more American parts in it than some so-called American cars like a Jeep, which really isn't an American car anymore either. But even the American parts, so-called parts in it, are not all from America. Some of their models have a majority of their parts made outside of America. Yeah, it gets a little complicated. And to call them unpatriotic simply because they're trying to look out for their best interest in terms of keeping their company solvent and growing, how about we make it easy to stay here in America? How about we make it so that other companies around the world want to merge with an American company so they can put their headquarters here? That's an idea. We're going to get into what's going on with the IRS here, admitting they're destroying evidence. Well, kind of. We'll hit it in a second. This is the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Hey, this is the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, sitting in, 855-400-SAVAGE. We were talking about Burger King merging with Tim Hortons in Canada. And is it for tax purposes? They say, kind of, but not really. I mean, a little bit. Is it unpatriotic? No, it's a smart move. And the way to be patriotic would be, let's revamp the code, get rid of all the deductions, put it about 10%, and watch the money and the businesses flow in. And let's quit double taxing profits made overseas. They pay taxes overseas. Let them bring the money back and put it here in America. That would be the smart thing to do. No. We have to play class warfare. And that's what Obama's doing one more time. It's driving me nuts. Oh, I had a great caller. Couldn't hang in there. But he said, Greg, don't forget how John Kerry tried to avoid his tax. Yeah, remember when he had that new yacht? Instead of docking it and making the port of call Massachusetts, he did it in Rhode Island. Guess how much money he was going to save? $500,000. If he'd left it in Rhode Island for 6 months, he could have saved $500,000. Once people found out about it, he had to move it and pay the taxes. He said, well, we were just leaving it in Rhode Island to fix it for that. We were always going to pay the taxes. Right. Yes. Do as I say, not as I do, as always. Let me get Gene in, KCMO, on this whole tax issue. Gene, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that in New York, you know, they're starting to advertise that they're giving tax breaks for the first 10 years if they can pull companies or to get companies come into New York. Evidently, they're losing companies to Texas. And, you know, if they really think about it, the money that comes in, if the United States would let that money come back into the country, how many times would that money turn over and be taxed, you know, over and over and over again if spent in income, spent income?
Exactly. And how much would it grow our economy? It's a great point, Gene. And Gene's talking about, have you seen these ads on cable TV where they're saying, if you come to New York and start a new business or bring a new business, we won't give you any taxes for the first 10 years on your business. But wait a second. I thought we were told taxes aren't why people make decisions. Remember? Warren Buffett even said, I'd never not do a deal because of taxes, except if you look at his deals, there have been deals he's turned down because of taxes. Of course the taxes matter. Of course that's part of your bottom line. It's just stupid to think it's not. Calling them unpatriotic. You know what's unpatriotic? Having the IRS admit that they intentionally destroyed Lois Lerner's BlackBerry after Congress had started its probe into the targeting of conservative groups. I got more on that one in just a second. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
This is the Savage Nation. My name is Greg Knapp, sitting in for you, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Don't forget his new book, Stop the Coming Civil War, My Savage Truth, pre-order Barnes & Noble. So we got a lot kicking around out here, and we're going to get to your phone calls on these things. We've got the Burger King tax deal. Are they un-American, or is our tax policy un-American? Really, for if you look at the beginning of this country. We've got a 9-year-old that was allowed to shoot a fully automatic Uzi at the gun range and ended up killing the instructor. Joe Scarborough says that was just sick to even let her fire it. Is that true? And I want to talk to you about the IRS. Look at this. Doug McElway of Fox News had the story. Thomas Kane, Deputy Assistant Chief Counsel for the IRS, has now admitted, because of a lawsuit filed by Judicial Watch against the IRS, that Lois Lerner's BlackBerry was intentionally destroyed. It was, quote, removed or wiped clean of any sensitive or proprietary information and removed as scrap for disposal in June 2012. Well, that's odd because before June 2012, She had already been summoned before congressional staffers and interviewed about the reports of her and the IRS targeting conservative groups. And then they destroyed evidence that they clearly knew would have been part of this investigation. Jay Sekulow, chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, said, if you intentionally destroy evidence, that is a crime. If you make a statement in court saying the evidence is not available and it is, that is also a crime. So text messages, emails, voicemails, gone, wiped clean, supposedly. Oh, you know there's a record somewhere. Just like Friday, Judicial Watch says they got a call from the Department of Justice lawyers that told them, well, we do have those Lois Lerner emails. Well, we knew you did, but you've been telling us you didn't. Well, you know, we back up everything in the government in case of a catastrophe or an emergency. So, yeah, we got them, but it's too onerous to find them, and that's a legal term. The legal term is if it's too onerous to find, then the government does not have to turn over that evidence. Too onerous. Well, when that came out in the news, then you got this from the Department of Justice. Oh, no. They're misinterpreting what we said Friday. There was no new backup system described. Government lawyers who spoke to Judicial Watch simply referred to the same email retention policy that Commissioner John Koskinen had described in congressional testimony. Well, if that's true, then why did you say they were that it was just too onerous to find? Because he said it wasn't there. Do you feel like you're getting played? Do you feel like you're getting lied to? Do you feel like your government's being honest with you? Cleta Mitchell is an attorney who represents other conservative groups suing the IRS. She said, well, we have a whistleblower who confirms what Judicial Watch said. I've received information from a former Department of Homeland Security official who had security clearances. He just retired in April. He contacted me and he contacted Judicial Watch and some members of Congress and said there is backup material. In other words, those emails still exist. Well, we've been told that they don't. That's nice, isn't it? Hey, let me get Davenport in from Georgia, WMAC, on the idea of the tax code, Burger King merging with the Canadian company to do a tax inversion, as they call it. Davenport, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Well, until they change the tax laws, I'm going to keep on buying American products. Every time I go to a store, I look and see where it's made, and I try to buy American or as close to American as I can. And I don't buy Mexican stuff because of this deal with this Marine down here in Mexico. I quit buying Mexican produce, and there's a lot of clothes made in Mexico, and I quit buying them. And
how in the world do you know if the produce is made in Mexico?
It's usually got it stamped on it.
Well, I buy produce. It doesn't say where it's made. Okay, that's interesting. Hey, Davenport, I think that's great for you to do that, but wouldn't it be smart, though, if we changed our tax code so that more companies would want to headquarter here instead of move?
That's what I say. Until they change the tax code, I'm going to buy American.
I don't blame you one little bit. Thanks, Davenport. Of course, it's getting harder and harder to know what really is American. Just because the company is American and the headquarters is American doesn't mean that all of it is done in America. Doesn't mean that all the parts that go into it are from America. Doesn't mean the people working the customer service line are in America. Doesn't mean, you know, not quite so easy as it used to be to try to do that. Hey, let me get Mark in Tennessee. Mark, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Hey, Greg. I'm calling about when the news broke on the Burger King Tim Horton deal. That the graphic they showed on television was a Burger King out front with a big fat sign that said EBT accepted here. And I was thinking, you know, kind of combining what you're saying about tax loopholes and all that, isn't them getting tax dollars through sales over the counter kind of a loophole that we should try to stop with the food stamps?
Mark, why do you hate the poor people and don't want them to have their Whopper? Why? You know what it is, Mark, because I tend to agree with you. If you're on food stamps, shopping at a fast food joint is the dumbest thing you can do with that money. Here's what they tell you. Well, some of the homeless people who have food stamps, they don't have a kitchen, so they have to eat somewhere, and they want a hot meal, so therefore we have to let them use the food stamps at the fast food joints. There's got to be a better way than doing that. That makes no sense to me whatsoever. What a total waste of how you would spend your money in terms of getting the best bang for your buck and the best nutrition for your buck when it comes to the food stamps. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. You know, other people wanted to jump in on this idea of the little 9-year-old girl who went to this Las Vegas shooting range out in the desert, and they let her shoot a fully automatic Uzi. The range instructor did a horrible job of holding the weapon with her. She was only 9. It got out of control, did an upward arc, and one of the rounds caught him in the head, and he's dead. And Joe Scarborough said it was just sick, sick to even allow a child to do that, and certainly has nothing to do with the Second Amendment. Let me get Carmen in. Pennsylvania WEEO wanted to talk about that. Carmen, you're on the Savage Nation. Go right ahead.
Hi, Greg. Yeah, I just wanted to comment on that. First of all, the prayers of my family and our church will be out to those involved with that. I just wanted to say that you mentioned earlier when you were talking about the tax code there, about going back to the founding of this country and when it had to do with the tax code. I like to go back to the founding of the country when it comes to our Second Amendment. And I agree with what you said. I don't think this has anything to do with the Second Amendment. But I happened to catch something that you said about our Second Amendment not protecting a 9-year-old's right to shoot a machine gun. And I don't want to sound like a fanatic, but I want to disagree with you respectfully and just say that our Second Amendment is for everybody in this country. And it also mentions that our rights to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed upon. That means that it shouldn't matter what type of firearm that you're talking about.
Yeah, but here's the thing. And, Carmen, I actually said it's debatable. And I said precisely what you're saying, that it said Congress shall pass no law. However, so should the average citizen be able to have a man pad, surface-to-air missile, bazooka, nuclear weapon?
We're talking about small arms.
No. We're trying to figure out where the line is drawn because you said, Congress shall pass no law. Well, a bazooka is an arm. A surface-to-air missile is an arm. How about the kind of 50 caliber machine gun that you could have on top of a major military vehicle? That's an arm. And if you're looking at what the Second Amendment was really about, and people will say it was about allowing the average citizen to have the same weaponry as the government so they could defend themselves against their own government's army, do you think the average person should be able to have those things? Because you're the one that said there should be no restriction whatsoever, so I'm trying to see if you really mean it.
You see, that's where you got to watch. I mean, the people that can afford to own the weapons that you're talking about are not your gangbangers that are doing drive-by shootings.
But that's not the point. If you say Congress shall pass no law, and that's what I'm trying to find out. So you do think there should be a law. You just don't think it should extend to a machine gun, and that's fine. I'm just saying, can you see that other people would say, well, then it shouldn't extend for a bazooka or a rocket-propelled grenade launcher?
I would have to disagree with them.
Well, and that I understand that, but I'm saying that's why some people disagree with you. So there is a line. Everybody has their line at a different point.
Right. And I didn't really want to get into all that, but that's fine.
But that's what you did. Thanks for the call, but that is what you did. When you jump in and say that means a 9-year-old should have the right to own a fully automatic weapon, then that is what you just did. So let's go all the way through it. And that's my point is I don't know the exact answer to that. But I do know that I don't think the average person should be able to walk in and buy a rocket-propelled grenade or a surface-to-air missile. So there has to be some kind of limit. And what we've decided so far is fully automatic, we put some pretty strict restrictions on. You can still get it, but it's really tough. And beyond that, we've said no. So, hey, listen, I think we've won a great victory, Second Amendment level. When we now, do you realize now we have every state in the union allows concealed carry? California just got smacked down for having a 10-day waiting period for a legal person to buy a gun. And did you see what happened in Chicago? Since Chicago has allowed concealed carry, they've had a decrease in robberies, in assaults, in gun crime, and in gun homicide. Now, I know Chicago's still crazy with gun homicide, but there's been a decrease since they've allowed concealed carry. Now, it's too early to say exactly how much of it is because of that, but let me tell you something. The people that were against concealed carry said that you would have the opposite. They said gun crime would go through the roof. They said gun homicide would go through the roof. They said you'd have more violence. You've had less. Every single time in every single state that they have allowed concealed carry, there has been a decrease in gun violence, a decrease in gun homicide, a decrease in violent crime. Every single time. You think maybe it's starting to get through to some people? Nah. No, not the people who hate guns. They hate guns. That's it. Done. How about this one? The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, part of the Department of Transportation, now has an advanced notice of proposed rulemaking on vehicle-to-vehicle communications. What? Well, see, as they're getting ready to try to protect you from you and eventually going to have you have the self-drive car, and believe me, I'm telling you right now, in our lifetime, depending on how old you are. You know, my dad's getting up there now. He's almost 80 years old, and his favorite joke is, you know, Greg, when I buy something new now, every warranty is a lifetime warranty. Ba-doom booms. I'll be here all week. Two shows nightly. Every warranty is a lifetime warranty for me now, Greg. Yeah, Dad, I heard you. Thank you. Well, in most of our lifetimes, I think that you're going to get the self-driving car be mandated upon you without a steering wheel and without pedals. And here's why. They can't allow you to muck up the works. See, the way to bring down traffic fatalities and the way to bring down traffic accidents is take the human equation out. So we've got to have every car be automated and every car be talking to each other so that every car knows how close the other one is, when the other one's speeding up, when the other one's slowing down, when the other one's turning right, when the other one's turning left, when the other one's coming to the intersection, when the other one isn't. And if they all know this, we can be moving in a gigantic synchronized dance and traffic will flow like it's never flown before and there won't be any wrecks whatsoever and everybody will be living sliding down a unicorn's rainbow into a pot of gold with butterflies dancing. And they're going to make you do it. Because if you're in the mix doing what you want to do, then there's trouble. Well, here's another step. The NHTSA and the DOT say, look, we're worried about the privacy of American drivers, but we need this. And what they want to do is mandate all cars broadcast their location, direction, and speed, you know, for safety. It's a basic safety message. It's an integrated V2V, that's vehicle to vehicle, connected to proprietary data buses and can provide highly accurate information using in-vehicle information to generate the basic safety message. That's all this gobbledygook, but just boil it down. Your car is going to be broadcasting. Where is it? What speed's it going? What direction's it going? And don't think that it won't be difficult for somebody to hack that and track you wherever they want to. We just had a story where I live that they caught a guy who was doing a lot of Craigslist robberies. He was posting stuff on Craigslist, and then when you showed up, he'd rob you. And he kept posting it with the same cell phone number. So the federal government got involved because it was an internet crime, because of Craigslist. And the feds, the FBI guys, tracked the cell phone and tracked him in real time and arrested him on a city bus. You don't think they already know how to do this stuff? A little bit scary? I mean, hey, I'm glad they caught the bad guy. But a little bit scary? Just a little. Hey, I've got a great little story about Michelle Obama on Martha's Vineyard. They got some people upset. And the tolerance, inclusion, and diversity of the left striking again. This time I meet the press. Wait till you hear what they're doing. It's all coming up in just a second. This is the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, filling in for the doctor.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN.
This is the Savage Nation. My name's Greg Knapp, in for the doctor. You ready for some tolerance, inclusion, and diversity from the left? Have you heard of Ed Kilgore? He is a contributing writer to the Washington Monthly. He's also managing editor for the Democratic Strategist, senior fellow,
the Progressive Policy Institute.
Well, he was upset hearing that NBC President Deborah Ternus has a new idea for Meet the Press. She says she wants a regular panel of journalists questioning guests instead of a one-on-one panel. So he says if Ternus is serious about it, we need to organize a grassroots campaign, this is a quote, to ask that certain journalists be permanently banned from the panel of Meet the Press, or we'll boycott the damn thing. I'd start with Peggy Noonan, Bill Kristol, David Gergen, David Brooks, and George Will. Even at their best, they've gotten more airtime than their shaky talents merit. So isn't that nice? I mean, he's decided, and did you notice that they're all conservative? Oh, yeah. He gets to decide who should be banned from Meet the Press. Ban the opinions we don't like. So much for the healthy debate, right? And have you heard of Vocative? Vocative is a website. They do some news stuff. And they were on Martha's Vineyard over the weekend. They were filming a piece about the African community, African-American community on the island. They said they were shooting along Beach Road. It's a public road, one of the busiest thoroughfares on Martha's Vineyard. They were there, already filming something, and the Secret Service came up and said, hey, can you guys switch off your camera for about 15 minutes? I'm like, no. A moment later, First Lady Michelle Obama started power walking by. So they were videotaping it. And the Secret Service come over and they put the hands in front of the camera and they say, come on, guys, really, really, come on, guys. And the question is, wait a second. It's a public road, one of the most busiest roads on the vineyard. They were there before she even showed up. And it's wrong to film the First Lady power walking? I mean, everybody has the right to privacy, but on a public road? See, this is where I don't care if that was President Bush and Barbara Bush, or if it was President Obama or Jimmy Carter or whoever. We've got to quit making our presidents into some kind of royalty. They're not. They are no better than you in the eyes of the law and the eyes of what you should be allowed to do. I thought we fought a war to stop royalty. Hey, thanks for letting me sit in here with you. Don't forget, Michael, new book. So.